Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hello there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we are talking about joy, one of my favorite subjects. Now, you don't have to be brimming with joy to participate. That's just it. We're talking about generating joy. This is something you can actually take control of and make happen yourself. You have the power to be joyful. But harnessing your power and generating joy aren't the only things we'll be discussing. We're going to be uncovering the benefits of sharing this with others. Your joy and the secrets of generating their own. I'm talking about joy. Isn't that worth sticking around for? So, what comes to your mind when you think of joy? It might be dependent upon where you are in your life, your level of comfort, success, or even wealth. It might bring up memories of family, friends, or making new acquaintances. For others, it might be a foreign comfort associated with love, safety, or strength. Maybe it's only something you've heard about. It's for all those other happy people, but for you, it's just beyond your reach. Joy is simply defined as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. That seems easy enough, but when you're buried under grief, shame, and guilt, it's like the shiny surface of the water when you're drowning. No matter where you are and what you're experiencing, you can find joy. You can find it, feel it, and then learn how to generate it on your own. So, why is joy such an important feeling that you should be seeking out? I mean, really, can't you just accept a mild level of happiness or not being as depressed as you were yesterday? Why strive for joy? Carrie Murphy wrote an article on this for Healthline, How Joy Affects Your Body. I think you're going to want to find some of this. Oh, joy. That happy, buoyant emotion is a great feeling, whether it's brought on by a big life event like a wedding or a birth, or something as simple as finding the perfect fruit at the farmer's market. On an emotional level, we may feel joy in a variety of ways, tearfully, euphoric, with a deep sense of contentment, and more. On a scientific level, we feel joy in our neurotransmitters, which are tiny chemical messenger cells that transmit signals between neurons or nerves and other bodily cells. These neurotransmitters are responsible for processes and feelings in almost every aspect of the body, from blood flow to digestion. Benefits of feeling more joy, like promoting a healthier lifestyle, boosting your immune system, fighting stress and pain, and supporting longevity. Feeling joyful? Well, here are all the ways happiness runs throughout your body. Take, for instance, your brain. Every emotion you feel is affected by your brain and vice versa. According to Dr. Diana Samuel, an assistant professor of clinical psychiatry at Columbia University Medical Center, the brain does have a single emotional center, but different emotions involve different structures. She explains, your frontal lobe, commonly known as the control panel of the brain, monitors your emotional state, while the thalamus, an information center that regulates consciousness, participates in how your emotional responses are executed. We feel joy in our bodies because of the release of dopamine and serotonin, two types of neurotransmitters in the brain. Both of these chemicals are heavily associated with happiness. In fact, people with clinical depression often have lower levels of serotonin. If you're feeling down, simple activities like going for a walk in nature, petting a dog or cat, kissing a loved one, and yes, even forcing yourself to smile can help those neurotransmitters do their job and raise your mood. So, when something you perceive as happy happens, your brain receives the signal to release these chemicals into your central nervous system, which consists of your brain and spinal cord. Then, this causes reactions in other bodily systems, like your circulatory system. Ever notice that when you feel especially happy, your face flushes or your heart races? This is because of an effect on your circulatory system, explains Dr. Samuel. Butterflies in your stomach, your facial expressions, even changes in your finger temperature. All of these can depend on your emotions. The effects on the circulatory system can present in different physical ways. Your circulatory system consists of your heart, veins, blood vessels, blood, and lymph. Of course, joy isn't the only emotion that affects this system. Fear, sadness, and other emotions can cause reactions in these parts of the body as well. Your autonomic nervous system is the bodily system responsible for all the things your body does without conscious effort from you, like breathing, digestion, dilation of the pupils. And yes, it's also affected by feelings of joy and elation. For example, your breathing can pick up when you're doing something particularly fun, like riding a roller coaster, or slow down when you're participating in more relaxing, pleasurable activities, like walking in the forest. Smiling can trick your brain by elevating your mood, lowering your heart rate, and reducing your stress. The smile doesn't have to be based on real emotions because faking it works as well. It's well known that your pupils dilate when you're sexually aroused, but they can also grow or shrink based on other emotional states too. Other autonomic aspects that can be affected by pleasure include salivation, sweating, body temperature, and even metabolism. Any type of emotional arousal can also affect your smooth muscles' trusted source, says Dr. Samuel. These are located in the walls of your hollow organs, like your stomach, intestines, or bladder. These involuntary muscles are responsible for things like blood flow and the movement of food through your digestive tract. So that could be a reason why your appetite revs up or slows down, depending on your positive emotions. So what comes first, the emotion or the bodily response? It's hard to say which comes first because your feelings and your psychology are inextricably linked. Dr. Samuel says, when something joyous happens, the emotional and physical response occurs right away because of all the things that are happening simultaneously in the body. And don't worry, it's normal to experience varying physical sensations in reaction to your happy emotions and to have different bodily responses than those around you. You may literally get the urge to jump for joy while your friend or sibling is more of a happy crying type. Exercise can also take your mind off worries and negative thoughts that may feed depression and anxiety. Wondering if you can actually trick your body into feeling happy? In a way you can, says Dr. Samuel. Even just the simple act of smiling can help. Smiling can trick your brain by elevating your mood, lowering your heart rate, and reducing your stress. The smile doesn't have to be based on real emotions because faking it works as well. There's actually a theory around smiling. It is said that there are some muscles and tendons in the face, and by pulling up a smile, you actually elicit the emotion. So instead of feeling happy and as a result smiling, this would be smiling in order to feel happy. Now, you can also fake that and share a smile with a friend. If you just don't feel it yet, you can fake your smile. Guess what? Your friend won't know you're faking it. So they will give you a genuine smile. Now, what happens when you get a genuine smile from someone else? You smile. So you faked it into reality. Another way to use your physiology to enhance your emotional state? Exercise. Yep, even if you don't feel like doing it. Samuel says that exercise can help ease depression and anxiety by releasing feel-good endorphins or other natural brain chemicals that enhance your sense of well-being. Exercise can also take your mind off worries and negative thoughts that may feed depression and anxiety. Now that you know how your body and your emotions can work in tandem, it may be a little easier to hack your mood so that you feel more joyful on a daily basis. But what happens when you're stuck in a rumination cycle of negative thoughts? That sounds dark and sinister, but we've all been there. It's hard to walk towards the light when you're stuck in the darkness. Everyone craves freedom and feeling hopeful and positive, but getting there is another story. You might believe happy people full of joy are people without any problems. They don't suffer from health issues, financial issues, or relationship issues. They have it all together, just running through the field of flowers, chasing rainbows. But that isn't true. Generating and activating joy in your life is a choice. Not being trapped by the negative pressures and the challenges of life is a choice. Have you ever heard of the happy place? Someone might have said that to you before. Go to your happy place. This can be more than a metaphor and become an actual place for your mind. A refuge where you're reminded of happy thoughts and feelings to transport yourself to a healthier state of mind. With a little practice, you can use this escape at will. So here are some thoughts from Zahn Villens for Medical News Today, How to Stop Ruminating Thoughts. Ruminating thoughts are excessive and intrusive thoughts about negative experiences and feelings. A person with a history of trauma may be unable to stop thinking about that trauma, for example, while a person with depression may persistently think negative self-defeating thoughts. Many different mental health conditions, including depression, anxiety, phobias, and post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, may involve ruminating thoughts. In some cases, rumination may just occur in the wake of a specific traumatic event, such as a failed relationship, constantly questioning the why. Persistent rumination can exacerbate the symptoms of existing mental health conditions. Being able to control ruminating thoughts may help people ease these symptoms and cultivate relaxation and joy. Most people experience ruminating thoughts from time to time. I mean, that's pretty normal, especially when we feel worried or sad. A person might ruminate on their fears about an upcoming medical appointment or test, while a student approaching graduation may ruminate about failing their exams. Some potential triggers for ruminating thoughts might be a specific stressor, such as a failed relationship, a recent traumatic event, perfectionism, low self-esteem, an upcoming stressful event like final exams or a major performance, facing a fear or phobia, such as a person with a fear of needles having a blood test, awaiting for information about potentially life-changing events like a medical test result or a loan approval. Persistent rumination, especially when a person experiences other psychological symptoms, may signal a mental health condition. Many mental health conditions can cause rumination, but rumination may also intensify the symptoms of some pre-existing conditions, like depression. A person with depression may ruminate on very negative or self-defeating thoughts. They may obsess over a belief that they're unworthy, not good enough, or doomed to fail. Even people with anxiety may ruminate on special fears, such as the idea that something bad will happen to their family. Or they might ruminate more generally, continually scanning their mind for things that might go wrong. OCD or obsessive compulsive disorder, they may feel overwhelmed by intrusive thoughts about things that could go wrong. To relieve these thoughts, they may engage in rituals like checking the door or cleaning or counting. People with phobias may ruminate on their fears, especially when they encounter the source of their phobia. Like a person with a spider phobia may be unable to think about anything but their fear when in the same room with a spider. People with schizophrenia may ruminate on unusual thoughts or fears, or they might feel distracted by intrusive voices and hallucinations. A 2014 study found that people with schizophrenia who ruminate on the conditions associated with social stigma might be more vulnerable to depression. Rumination may also be a sign of other mental health conditions. A person struggling with codependency may ruminate on their fears of abandonment, while a person with an eating disorder may be unable to stop thinking about their diet and exercise routine. Here are some tips for stopping ruminating thoughts. Numerous strategies can help with rumination. People with depression, anxiety, or other mental health diagnosis may find that they need to try several strategies before finding one that works. It can be useful to keep track of effective strategies so that when rumination feels overwhelming, it's possible to turn to a list of methods that have worked previously. People may find these following tips helpful. Avoid rumination triggers. Some people find that specific factors trigger rumination. They may wish to limit access to these triggers if it's possible to do so without undermining their quality of life. For instance, a person could try putting themselves on a media diet if the news makes them feel depressed, or they could stop reading fashion magazines if these publications make them feel unattractive. Spend time in nature. A 2014 study found that people who went on a 90-minute nature walk reported fewer symptoms of rumination after their walk than those who walked through the urban areas instead. Exercise. Numerous studies have found that exercise can improve mental health, especially over time. A 2018 study reported that even a single session of exercise could reduce symptoms of rumination among inpatients with a mental health diagnosis. People may find that pairing exercise with time outside gives them the best results. Distraction. Disrupt ruminating thought cycles with something distracting. Thinking about something interesting and complex may help, while fun, challenging activities such as a complex puzzle may also offer relief. Interrogation. People can try to interrogate ruminating thoughts by considering that they might not be helpful or based in reality. Perfectionists should remind themselves that perfectionism is unattainable. Those who tend to concern themselves with what other people think should consider that others are more concerned with their own perceived shortcomings and fears. Increase self-esteem. Some people ruminate when they do poorly at something that is very important to them, like a beloved sport or an important academic achievement. By expanding their interest and building new sources of self-esteem, a person can make a single defeat feel less difficult. Meditation. Meditation, particularly mindfulness meditation, may help a person better understand the connection between their thoughts and feelings. Over time, meditation can offer people greater control over seemingly automatic thoughts, making it easier to avoid rumination. therapy may help a person regain control over their thoughts, detect signs of rumination, and choose healthier thought processes. Some forms of mental health therapy, such as rumination-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, and yes, there is an acronym for this, RFCBT, specifically target rumination to help a person gain more control over their thoughts. When you're stuck thinking about the past, you can't focus on the future. And the future is where you find your light. It's where you find your purpose. So before we talked about the happy place, let's revisit that idea. Now that we have rumination in check, we understand what's going on when we revisit those negative feelings over and over again. But a happy place can be an actual place, or it can just be a place in time where you were truly happy. It could be associated with an event or an accomplishment. So let's think of one or two of those right now. Think of one or two of those times when you were proud of yourself. You were truly happy. You had that moment you want to cherish. An exercise I like to use is to find a place to write maybe one to three of them down. Now, spend some time thinking about this place and why it brings you joy. It's important to be specific, so don't use broad explanations, but instead add as many details as you can possibly remember. Write about where you were and what you were doing and who else was involved. How did you feel and what was the day like? Even take time to notice your body, the temperature, and the specifics around your mood. Don't bury these stories in the middle of a journal, but make them easy to access. So the thought is, when you're ruminating, it's really hard to visit these places with much clarity and at will, right? You're stuck, you're in a bad place, you're not using the front part of your brain. How can you transport yourself so quickly to a happy place? But if you have a guide, it could help to bring you there and lift your mood, activate a different part of your brain. These guides will help you strengthen this muscle so you can visualize your happy place more frequently and with less work. So keep it somewhere close where when you're just having a bad day, you can flip over there and read through and conjure up that happy memory. Working to lift your spirits naturally is so empowering. So, are you ready for more natural remedies? Okay, well, Jude Bijou is a respected psychotherapist, professor, educator, and workshop leader. Her award-winning book is Attitude Reconstruction, a blueprint for building a better life. And she gives us 7 ways in her article for Mind Body Green. Remember, joy is an emotion, and emotions are wordless. They're pure physical sensations in our bodies. We experience the emotion of joy in many physical ways. For example, we may jump for joy when we win a hard-fought competition, or we may double over in uncontrollable laughter when someone relates a hysterical story. We squeal with delight when getting a surprise gift, and we hoop and holler exuberantly when we hear fantastic news. We feel buoyant and jubilant on a beautiful day. When we feel joy, we feel great about ourselves. We feel confident, powerful, capable, lovable, and fulfilled. These are all good reasons to experience more joy in our life. So here are 7 ways we can do it. Undertake a challenging activity with a commitment to mastering it. Think of a project you've wanted to accomplish, whether it's creating a small flower garden in your yard, learning how to give your car a tune-up, or mastering the tango. The process of setting a goal, learning the necessary steps to achieve it, and giving it your best effort until you've mastered it will generate high self-esteem and pride. These are feelings associated with joy. Actively seek joy through inspiration. Another way to get more joy into our lives is to find it through activities that stretch our perceptions and take us out of the ordinary day-to-day life. Engaging in meditation and prayer are two obvious ways to produce a feeling of well-being. Serenity and joy can happen from being alone in nature. This is another way to just feel the beauty of oneness and being a part of something bigger than yourself. Engage in an activity that's pleasurable and feels like play. Do an uplifting and enjoyable activity that's not goal-oriented, but just plain fun. Here are some examples, like throwing a frisbee with your dog, dancing, hiking, looking at beautiful art, enjoying a concert. Play and other activities that don't have a purpose are great at helping us feel relaxed and happy. It keeps our mind focused on the present, and the present is where joy lives. Deal with the sadness that blocks joy. When we're sad, it isn't possible to feel bubbly and exhilarated. In a place that feels safe and private, constructively express your sadness by allowing yourself to cry. Crying acknowledges your hurt and your loss. Don't indulge any negative thoughts about yourself. Just keep telling yourself, "I'm fine. It's okay to cry. I just feel sad." You'll immediately feel washed clean and even joyful. Honor yourself consciously and frequently. Joy doesn't come from others. It comes from within. Interpret negative thoughts about yourselves and replace them with the statements that honor yourself, like, "I'm fine the way I am. I'm whole and I'm complete. I did my best. I can do this. I love myself. What I'm seeking is within me." Also, focus on the good and what you did well. Write down self-appreciation so that you can read and say them frequently out loud. The more you reinforce these concepts, the more they will become your reality. Give yourself a break from the day-to-day world. Nurture yourself. Set up time for just you when you can disconnect from daily responsibilities and get away from the noise, stimulation, and demands of the world. Joy comes easily when we focus on our own needs in a caring and loving way. Get a massage. Close the door, put your feet up, and watch the world outside your window. Take a nap. These kinds of activities replenish us and give our body and soul a chance to feel pure joy. Remind yourself, "My job is to take care of myself." Say the word often and contemplate its meaning. Repeating and contemplating the word joy can actually create the emotion. Say it over and over, varying speeds, tones, tempos, until you laugh. Notice how your body feels when you say the word. Did your chest expand? Did your face relax? Think about what joy means to you. Be as specific as possible. Imagining the feeling of joy, the images it conjures up, perhaps even the people and situations who trigger joy. Sign off your emails with the word joy. Paint the word on a smooth rock and keep it on your desk. More joy will rise up if you simply invite it to do so. Consider collecting all these ideas for the ability to give yourself a joy injection whenever you need one. Feeling down today? Don't wait for someone to come along and pick up the pieces. You have the power to take control and generate joy. No longer should you succumb to sadness or a feeling of hopelessness. You have the power to generate joy. Be a light, a city on a hill. We are all attracted to that beautiful spirit that gives us hope. Before you allow negativity to block your joy and dim your light, climb up to that higher vantage point and be a city on a hill, one without obstruction that guides others to joy. Thank you for sticking around with me as we walk through generating joy. You know, a feeling that you can create on your own. It is a tough environment we're in. Lots of negativity. You can't hardly get into a discussion without hearing negativity and being pulled in. How can you possibly generate joy in the midst of all of that? Well, some of those tips are to push back and realize that you can be a light. You can really set the tone. You can avoid those conversations and start your own. Start generating joy. One thing I wanted to make mention of as well is connections. We find joy in being around people that are glad to be around us. So I realize that may be difficult in certain times is to reach out and make those connections, but find a creative way, whether you do a Skype call, a text, a video call, or whether you're able to get together in person, go for a walk, have some coffee. Connecting with someone and sharing your thoughts, your dreams, your challenges, your desires is going deeper and will release oxytocin in the brain, which is that deeper connection feeling. It's important. Don't believe that you can go it alone. So many times we want to empower this independence that we're strong enough to do everything on our own. We'll get through this. No one could possibly know what I'm going through. And once I've got it all worked out, then I'll try to find that joy thing they're always talking about. Get rid of that thought process today. You deserve joy right now, and you can get it. Reach out. Reach out to a friend. That's why an accountability partner is so great. When you're having a moment of self-doubt or a season of, you know, lower self-esteem, reaching out to that person and sharing those feelings in a safe and trusted way means that you can get some honest feedback. Sometimes we just talk ourselves into this idea and believe that we're alone. We're alone in our pain and in our misery. And really, there are so many more people that are going through something as well and need to know that there's someone that understands them. Reach out, share these ideas with others, and realize that you deserve better. Now, I want to do a little visualization just to give you that feeling of joy, that excitable feeling of joy, because I want you to crave it so that tomorrow, you are looking for all aspects of generating joy. So we are going to imagine ourselves in our home, in a room by ourselves. Okay. So let's all go there. You may want to shut your eyes, imagining you're there by yourself. Okay. Pressures of the day are gone. We're not thinking about that. We're calm. We're in the present. We're in a safe environment. Now, someone is coming to visit us today. Someone we're so excited to see. Someone that makes us happy. Someone that we share a lot of things with, whether it's a family member, a friend, someone we haven't seen in a long time. Oh, we're so excited. I can't wait till they get here. Are you feeling that bubbling up, that excitement? I cannot wait till they get here. What are we going to do when they get here? We're going to have so much fun. You hear the knock at the door. Oh my gosh, you're so excited. They are right on the other side of that door. You open the door and you're smiling at them, knowing this is going to be the best day right now. That feeling of joy is a joy injection. We just gave ourselves a joy injection. How excited are we to go on with our day? Imagine being able to give yourself that every day. Take those ideas, pull them all together. It's important that you take control of your well-being. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, don't accept sadness as a stage of life. Push back and harness your power to generate joy. Create guidelines to help you find your happy place and share that feeling with others. Shine your light bright enough for others to follow. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you, how I wound up here. All I needed was a rock that I could lean on.